Welcome to the Experience Focused Leaders Podcast. My name is Alex Shevelenko. I'm CEO and founder of Relate2, and we are on a mission, both with the podcast and with Relate2, to bring the most important ideas to life. And how do we do that? We do that through amazing, immersive, engaging experiences that move your organization forward, move your customers forward, and move us as a society forward. So if you love ideas, if you love bringing these ideas to life, stick around. Also, at the end of the podcast, we'll reveal how you could potentially be a guest speaker on the podcast as well. Let's get started. I am super excited to introduce you to Barry Rhine, founder of award-winning sales training and consulting firm, of which I'm happy to say I was one of the customers. It's selling through curiosity, coaching through curiosity. It's basically everything through curiosity, which is, I'm really curious to learn how other curious people who don't think they're in sales, who don't think they're in the persuasion business, could actually use their curiosity to do great things in the world. I think one other thing I want to highlight is I wish Barry's class was a requirement at Stanford Business School when I was an attendant, a student there. And I'm really, really happy to say that it is now one of the most well-attended skill-based courses at Stanford. So Barry, let's get the juice of what those lucky Stanford MBAs are getting from you to change the world.
I love it. Thank you, Alex. And by the way, as you were making the introduction, and thank you for those kind words, what's interesting is we're all in sales. Everybody, always. Yes. Everybody, if you think about every conversation, someone's buying or selling an idea, a concept. Yeah. And so everywhere, everybody is in sales. Yeah. And that art of persuasion is magic. All communications. Yes. Is that what it's all about, right?
It is. And I think it's really fundamental. I think some places sales is a bad word. And I think there's some professions where people that are doing sales, they still don't want to call it sales. Like an investment banking is a great example of a highly paid salespeople. They take your courses, they learn from the best. But I think fundamentally what you're also doing is for people like myself that maybe had originally knew that this is something you need to do, but had maybe a stigma associated with the word sales, because it implies some degree of transactionality. What I love about your approach is that you're making it about fundamentally a good thing, about being really curious about the other party, what they need, what they want, maybe helping them solve their problem. So tell us a little bit about where does this come from? Where does this personally resonate with you as a framework? And why have you been doing this so successfully with some of the best sales organizations in the world, like Salesforce, SuccessFactors, SAP, where I was, DocuSign, and I know repeat customers just keep taking you from Salesforce to SuccessFactors to DocuSign, over and over. So you're doing this. You're one of the best secrets of Silicon Valley sales culture. And I think fundamentally, where did this start? The curiosity approach.
It's interesting. I was really blessed. One of the things my parents did really well was, my dad always said, if you can become an expert, the answer is yes. So when I was a kid, I was a young kid, I loved to fish. I still love to fish. I'm looking at the water right now. I love to fish. And as a young kid and a boy, I learned that you can take worms and you can put them in soil. And if you throw some food in there and you water them, you can make lots and lots of worms. And then I was able to sell the worms. And so that was my first kind of idea of sales. And my I was
curious. How old were you?
I was young.
Okay. 12. Okay. All right.
And I was fascinated by bees. So I studied bees. And so my parents really encouraged curiosity. Every kid wants a monkey. I had a monkey. I had an Asian macaque from the Philippines. when I was 15. And then I wanted to start a dog training business. And I learned to train dogs. And so I had all of these different ways of just being curious. I was just a curious kind of kid. And I think many of us, my grandson, extremely curious. It was so fun when he's young. He's six, he's seven now. And but when he was two, we would walk around the ranch and he would see something. And it was just that mindset of interest. And of course, being curious myself, I'm right there with him and my sons, right? We're all curious in our family, but we've always fostered that. And I think that that's shut down a lot in as we become adults. I think this idea of how do you learn about anything? And if you're talking about sales, it's how do you learn about them? Integrity says you can't sell something to someone if they don't authentically need it. At least that's my definition. And so, I always love talking to groups of people that want to learn about sales that aren't traditional salespeople because I ask them, when someone cold calls you on the phone, how do you feel about them? And if they're honest, they say, I don't like it. So therefore, we have this negative, this feeling of salespeople, but yet we have to be one. So it's an interesting process. But I learned early on in a dog training business. It used to take me 2 days to train a dog. It took me 12 weeks to teach the people how to work the dog that already knew what to do. And that was my first fascination with belief and behavioral change work and helping people learn and what that process looks like.
So it's fascinating because it almost feels like nobody wants to be sold, but people like their problems to be solved,
Yes, they do. Everybody does.
right? And so I, in some ways, it feels like if there's just a very basic reframe of like, hey, I'm not here to sell anything. I'm not here to even to like, I maybe it's an attitude of service, right? Like serving is a great thing. It's a gift. You're helping others, right? Solving their problems. If I can't solve their problem, I'll try to find somebody else who can, right?
That's
It
right.
feels like a much more genuine, life-affirming way of going through the world. And I'm curious what people join in the program. What when they have not sold historically, what is the biggest obstacle for them to get over and kind of start thinking of sales and themselves and their sales capacity as a positive contributor to others?
Yeah, it's interesting. I am blessed. I get to be on faculty in the business school at Stanford, which is for me is always every day I walk, every time I've been doing it 13 years, every day I walk, I'm amazed at this campus and I revere it. It's just amazing. I never went to a 4-year college. I had enough college credits at a junior college to become a police officer in San Jose, and it was a fun job. It was not a career for me. And what's always interesting is in my class, we teach the fundamentals of effective selling is the name of the class. The key is there, my students are there like 90, 10, 90% are not salespeople. In fact, maybe 95% aren't salespeople. But they all realize that even as a founder, even as someone that's doing a startup, as tomorrow's leader, you have to understand sales. I find it so crazy that we give our kids masters of business and we don't teach them revenue generation. I sort of think about business as this. There's only two kinds of problems in business, not enough revenue and everything else. Because if you have plenty of revenue, sales, you can buy yourself runway to fix everything else. And so what's interesting is with my students that I it's honored is one of the biggest problems is this. People seem to think that they can think their way in sales. They can think their way through a sales motion. But yet, when they drive a car or fly an airplane, they very much get, I have to practice. Like, no one gets in an airplane and says, I flew a simulator on my Microsoft Flight Simulator game, and now I'm going to get behind an airplane and I'm going to fly. Well, the concepts are easy. You can think through that. You can watch YouTube videos. But when you get put in the seat, it's a very different experience. Yet sales is not thought of as a skill. It's
This is,
if
yeah.
people think of it as I have to be gregarious. No, you don't. I've built a career training tens of thousands of people.
Yeah.
They weren't gregarious. They weren't natural salespeople. And
Yeah.
so it's a skill like anything else. And the biggest mistake is people seem to think that with this skill, I can just think through it. And it
Yeah.
doesn't work that way.
Well, it's interesting you bring it up. It's sort of there's this analytical thread to some of the folks that get into business schools, right? They're academically strong.
Course.
And so they tend to over rely on their strength, right? And they've, and like I would put myself in that, in the shoes of somebody fresh out of business school. I was of the opinion that if I only could write a very, very compelling presentation, that it would just sell itself, right?
Course.
Naturally, it would sell itself. And then I was very surprised when that didn't work for
No, it
whatever
doesn't.
reason. Like, it was a brilliant presentation. It was structured, it was easy to follow. And ironically, that's, by the way, what for our Relate2 fans that are listening, that was one of the genesis behind Relate2. Is like, what is it that the, you know, if you are creating a presentation, you put your heart and soul into some sort of content. For it to actually persuade others, it needs to create an, you know, a digital interaction with
Yes,
them and kind of
engagement.
lean towards their interest and be curious about what they are interested in so they get their questions answered, not you trying to shove your presentation down people's throats or shove your product down people's throats or here's about us, like what a great company we are, shoving that down people's throats. So we're kind of moving away from this monolith thing, like here's a monologue about why we're going to change your world, to first understanding what's in people's world, what's relevant, what's not, and then moving them, you know, eventually potentially to solve the problem. So where do you see people that have been doing sales for a long time, that are not like the MBAs, where are they still, where do they fall? Right? Because it's a lot of folks that are go through your classes, kind of in the enterprise software universe, they've had successful sales careers in some organizations.
Course.
And I'm curious if that was, you know, the success was because of the product that they were selling that was kind of selling off the shelves, or because they knew they need, like some of them were still missing the skills of selling maybe a new product or something that's not proven yet.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think that I applaud and celebrate everybody's success. I am the optimist. I look at what's possible. So what I love is when we go into companies and do sales transformation programs, yes, the top 10%, we know they sell the greatest amount. The bottom 10%, they sell the least. My challenge is I need to create an opportunity, create a space for all those people to learn what they need to learn to be more effective. So when I train people that are in the bottom 20 or 30%, some of the fundamentals, they all apply, obviously. However, when you think about the top 10 or 20 or 30%, and I've trained some massively successful people, top the number one sales rep at Oracle, the number one sales rep at HP, number one sales rep at Salesforce. I've had these people in my classes. What do you
Just
say?
for the those folks that don't know, that's like a multimillionaire probably
Oh yeah,
in terms of
no question.
they're
Oh
like
yeah. Oh, a
they're
lot,
like
millions of
taking the
dollars.
training off the yacht somewhere.
100%. So now, what do I have to offer someone like that? I'm not going to tell them they're doing something wrong. I would be insane. And I don't believe that. What I believe is, what do we need to change in our thinking or our skills to be more effective, to accomplish our goals faster, quicker, and again, for me, and spend more time with my family and friends? That's my whole motivation of why I do what I do. And so when you say to a top salesperson, when they come through our class, they pick up little different tidbits. And what's interesting is everybody that goes through, and you know this, Alex, from our experience, because of the pedagogy, which is a word that I didn't know until I got to Stanford. I never went to college. Pedagogy means the way in which we teach. My secret sauce, and I'm very blessed that I figured it out early on, is I'm not the smartest guy in the room. I create an opportunity for people to go through a different way of thinking and a different skill set. We do beliefs and behaviors both. That's how you get long-term change. And so when you let people role play and practice and have experiences that are fun, that are engaging, and that are methodical in how we want to develop people's thinking in this game of selling, it's all skills. What winds up happening is the top salespeople look at that experience and go, oh my gosh, I do all of this really well. But if I change these five questions, I can get there
Yeah.
faster. I've
Yeah.
had top salespeople say to me, Barry, I never thought that I could actually ask early on these kinds of questions. I always wait till way later. I'm asking them earlier, which means I'm getting to a yes faster. So, did I double their sales? No, I did not. Did I help them get there faster? Yes, I did. Did I help them get more referrals because they maybe never asked? Yes, I did. So, everybody learns something in this in our classes, as you know, and it's not me teaching people. It's me creating a space for me to share content for them to practice it. And realize on their own, maybe they're not as good as they thought they were. Maybe there's
Yeah.
an opportunity to be more effective.
Well, let's make this real for our audience. Like the
Sure, please.
you're renowned for being applied. So there are some like what are the th let's say three questions, right? Let's just say three questions that if you use them in your life career, that will have disproportionate results. And then maybe we could practice some, or pick a part of the sales journey, or maybe the earlier part that where we could even practice some of these questions in the similar role play that you're doing. And let's assume that I'm starting at zero because it's been a long time. I
Yeah.
probably attribute the success of persuading my wife to marry me to you, which I'm really grateful for.
Congratulations.
Let's assume I forgot the rest because the kids are not as I'm not as persuasive with the kids as I would like to be.
Yeah. Parenting through curiosity adds a whole nother element. Yes,
Yeah,
it does.
exactly. Yeah, that's a plug for one of your platforms. But let's take it like for somebody who's curious, who wants to curious, like they think of themselves as they genuinely want to be curious about other people. Let's give them the tools that they could take every, today in their next conversation.
Okay, that's kind of fun. Okay, let's try that.
Yeah.
So before I do that, let me take a step back. What is selling through curiosity? I think of selling as a triangle. The left side of the triangle is all around information gathering. What are the most effective questions to ask? How do I learn about the other person? How do I understand their logic, their thinking? How do I What's the information that I need that's the most effective to allow me to serve them? That's the left side of the triangle. Now, let's say you get really good at asking these questions. What do you do with that data? That's the
Right.
right side of the triangle. And that's what we call creating customized value. Customized value. I didn't say value, customized, meaning we're going to map our solution. We're going to map what we want to help them with to their words, their examples, their stories, to their highest business priorities. We're going to map it to understanding their decision-making process. When they bring up objections, we're going to use that, their definition of value, to
Yeah.
help them in that decision-making process and closing. That's the right side of the triangle. Now, what's the base of the triangle? That is what we call all-around relationship building. So we believe there are tactics, daily tactics to gain mind share, to drive authentic connection, and
Okay.
to authentically make, again, if people like and trust you, they're going to be more apt to want to believe and buy from you.
Right,
If
right, right.
you don't trust me, it doesn't matter how good my product is, we're going to have a problem, right?
Right.
So base of the triangle, and there are tactics. Now, in business school, that base of the triangle is very difficult for my students. My first 5 years teaching, it was very difficult. They gave me a run for my money. And what I had to learn was many people that are not in sales, so your audience possibly, they think that when we do things for people, it's inauthentic. When you talk about relationship building, it's inauthentic if it's in the context of sales. And that's not mine. I'm talking about authentically connecting, and we can talk more about that. Now,
Is
that's the
that
triangle.
because they're like they have the stereotype that like, oh, tell me about your kids and that type of
Tell
that's
me about
done
your kids,
poorly.
send a bottle of
Oh,
wine,
yeah.
handwritten thank you notes. I'm bribing them. It's all that brought together. And yes, there, you know, it's like my daughter Joey says, way to fit your stereotype. Salespeople are notorious. They have a bad reputation for a purpose, for a reason. Of course, we know what that is. That's not, this is all about authentic connection. You know, my daughter Joey and I am so proud of her, and she it's so fun to be in business with my daughter. She's the co-founder of our program, Dating Through Curiosity. And we have a simple vision, helping hundreds of millions of single people with the skills and confidence to find true love. It's a big problem in our world today. There's billions of single people, and the skills,
Yeah,
COVID ruined
all lacking basic communication skills
communication
because of
skills,
the
the
dating
fundamentals.
apps, you know, like taking
Absolutely.
over the world. Yeah, I get it.
It's terrible. And so we have some really amazing solutions with practice and things like that. But let me go back to that. So when we think of dating, you can't be inauthentic. It's like me putting in a profile, I'm 6'3". When I meet them in person, I'm 5'9". It's a problem. I don't know
Well,
what,
you
it's a
just
problem.
eliminated half of the profiles and subsites, but yeah,
Yeah, that's another conversation.
it
But so when we think about sales, that's the triangle. What goes in the triangle are the applications of what's on the outside, which are prospecting. You have to value-based value proposition, objection handling, negotiating, closing, mutual. That's the application. So with that being said, now let's talk about this thing called curiosity. Because most people, they think curiosity is questions, and that is not curiosity. Curiosity is genuinely being interested in a topic, interested, and genuinely means without an agenda. And this is the magic and why parenting through curiosity, or when I work with my wife together when we're a couple, curiosity is really difficult because I have my side of the argument. So it's hard.
It's a little bit easier to be curious with people who you don't know, is kind of what you're saying, what I'm hearing, because you
Or
don't
just
have a
situations
pre-written
that
story,
not emotionally charged,
not emotionally charged.
right? My wife and I, we want to see a, we want to decide what we're going to watch on Netflix. It's not emotionally charged. My wife and I talking about our kids getting into college, oh, that might be a little bit more emotionally charged. Selling a deal that's your biggest deal of your career, emotionally charged. And this is something I want to leave everybody with, because this thought as we move on, I do not believe you rise to the occasion. I believe you fall to the highest level of your training. You don't rise to the occasion. When you're in stress,
You
when things go
don't come, you
crazy,
yeah, you go to the default mode.
so what is that? And so in any kind of persuasion in sales, you're a co-founder, you're trying to raise money as a co-founder, you're trying to sell your first products, whatever the case may be, it's emotionally charged. You are only gonna, you don't rise to the level of your, right? You don't just rise to the occasion. You fall to the level of your training. And so this becomes what's your skills and practice. So with that being said, now let's talk about
So
that.
I don't want to take away, like, so we got the
Please.
triangle. I think on the, but like this, I this is one of the topics that we want to come back to. I think you spend a lot of time in your Stanford course on limiting beliefs that people have, right? And I think there's a so there's a limiting generic limiting beliefs, like I'm not in sales, right? Like I can't sell,
Sure.
right? Like this, or this is like unauthentic, right? And so we could kind of uncover that for some folks that are new. But I think what when you bring up this level of the level of attachment, right, to an issue, attack like this deal I'm attached to, I could certainly relate to, you know, being a driven, achievement oriented person that, you know, connects historically grew been successful through achieving certain results. And then when you do that and you have some success, you start defining yourself along the lines of those results. Like, I'm only as good as my last quarter in sales. I'm only as good as, you know, the amount of money we raised as a startup, right? I'm like, so there is this tendency in competitive, really, you know, pretty successful people to start measuring themselves on this achievement. And then the more they get attached to it, the more there is at stakes.
Totally.
And so I'm curious, how do you help people who have a, you know, really like there's a lot more at stake than there probably should be, needs to be. And like, do they need to meditate before the call? Kind of reflect on how they're gonna connect with this other human being, that it's not about the call, it's just about the conversation, and everything else is an upside. Like, guide me a little bit on that emotional state and emotional training that you help people get to remove the level of attachment to results.
Yeah, it's a tough one because it presupposes my belief. I know that confidence comes from practice, and you're going to see some
Right.
themes with me. So, what I know is when I go into a situation that I have practiced, that I am confident, I react differently. People are human, you're human creatures. It's this human dynamic. And so, when I think about and I ask people, well, you're in this situation, you're a salesperson, you're doing this, or you're raising money, or you're just trying to, you're recruiting someone. When was the last time you videotaped yourself? When was the last time you were on Zoom? And then you went and start and stopped and watched. Now, here's the problem with my statement. If you don't have a methodology to bounce off your evaluation, you're just watching yourself. You did the best you could at the moment. Now you're watching. You have nothing to bounce it off to. So that's why when I think of a curiosity-based approach and how to be and how to ask effective questions and when to ask effective questions, right? It requires both. And so as we think through that, curiosity is very fascinating. So let's play a game.
Okay.
You talked about a role play. Let's play a game.
Let's do
I
it.
want you to interview me for like 30 seconds.
All right.
And I'm going to your you, let's you could be your, let's be your business, and you're interviewing me as a business owner, and I'm just gonna let's do a few sentences, and then I want to we'll deconstruct what is possible. Now, if you're a viewer, you're listening to this, imagine you're a salesperson, and you're imagine you have a company, and you're going to hear me talk for just a few sentences. Listen to what I'm saying and what questions would you ask and why would you ask them if you were in sales? How about we take that approach? What do you think?
Sounds good.
It's an impromptu. So, okay,
Oh,
go ahead
yeah.
and ask me about my business. So I'm going to be your, I'm a potential customer. Go ahead and go.
Very. So, what made you excited to build your business in the first place? And now you've been doing it for over 30 years. What gives you motivation to keep going and keep leaving a legacy with your business?
Perfect. I love that. And so let me put it in context. Here's what I heard. This is what I heard about you, and I just want to verify. I heard that you can really help people like me, and you can help my company. I have heard that for you about what get you what working with you, what gets me excited about that is I think you can help me and communicate faster. And that's really important. We have missed some goals, and I'm looking for some help. So I'm looking if you could maybe give us a demo of your product. I'd like to understand and learn more.
Thank you, Barry. But before I dive into the product, I'm just curious if you have thought about what would be the impact of having your voice and the good habits that you provide for your graduates of your course available to them immediately after the course, in the next 3 months, in the next 6 months, so that they get more and more chances to experience the Barry Ryan experience
Okay,
when you're
perfect.
not in the room.
Okay,
What would
perfect. So,
kind of impact would that be for
okay,
you?
perfect. I'm going to go ahead and stop. So, for our listeners, and by the way, Alex, how direct can I be
How
with
direct
in
can you?
coaching you?
Oh, please rip
Okay,
it
cool.
apart.
So, we're stopping the role play. So, our listeners, a couple things. So, Alex, you have a direction you were going in, which was wonderful. You knew what questions you were going to ask. However, when I said some very interesting key words, I said, I've heard about you guys. I believe you can help me. We need to communicate faster. I missed my goals. By the way, These are my handwritten notes that I just took everybody from my conversation. So we haven't practiced this or rehearsed this. This was just kind of like Alex and I doing our thing. So while I was talking, I was writing down my words. Why was I writing down my words? To use this as an example. Anytime that we're trying to be curious or learn about someone in any kind of traditional or non-traditional selling, their words is what we're going to listen to. They are little insights. We call them points of view. They're insights into a person's logic. For me to serve someone, I've got to understand their logic. If their logic makes sense, then I can help them. But if I don't know it, what am I going to pitch? So,
I
some
see.
questions I
So
would
you
like.
needed to pick you. Sorry, is the implication is that I should have taken that thread more, used those words more as I was going forward?
How about go be curious about them? So, for instance, Alex, I've heard about your company. What have you heard?
Great.
Why did that excite you? What prompted you to be interested? How did you hear about us? Those are four quick questions just around that one. I heard about you. I believe you can help me. Now, this is very powerful. How do you see us helping you? So, literally, I said to you, Alex, I think I know about you and I think you can help me. And you did not find and you did not ask,
Yeah, I didn't put draw.
right? Because I could have explained to you why I've already bought. And again, for points of view, we have to communicate faster. Tell me about your communication. Why faster? What is faster? How will that be of value? If we can help you communicate faster, how is that of benefit? So what I'm pointing out here, and I want everybody that's listening to this podcast, when you're in conversations with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, your wife, hopefully not all of them together, with at work, with customers, with clients, we lose the ability of listening for the purposes to understand. And that is a skill set of listening, writing a few things down. And again, there's some situations you can't, but let's go with this for now. And then being able to make sure that we hear them, we learn from them. People want to share what they want to share their story, and people want to feel heard. My wife and I, I go to problem solving. We want to have conversations. Many times there's different conversations with my kids. My purpose is not to solve a problem. My purpose is to listen. So I need these skills. Other times, my purpose, because I ask, what's my purpose, is to actually solve problems. And so these are the kind of things I want you to think about it. So let me stop and check in with you. What do you think about what I just said?
I think it's beautiful. It's really interesting. I was more paying attention to our earlier conversation than to this one, which is actually very probably a common mistake, right? Like, so because we in the past, right, like in our other conversation, we were chatting about exactly this kind of approach of like what happens after the training, and what's the possibility of creating like a guide was the favorite questions and everything in there. And I was so basically in a way I was jumping already to a solution from an earlier conversation, right? Versus listening to you right now in this moment. And your four key words, like I heard about you, I think you can help me, and the faster communications, right? I think those were the ones. And then the other thing that I noticed is I didn't write down what you were saying, which is sort of an intriguing notion. So I think it's pretty easy when you follow the, like I'm tend to be free flowing in the conversation. So when you're free flowing, I think you could pick something up. So you will still go with the flow. In this case, I didn't do a great job on it, but you will still probably miss the other three things that were brought up, right? Because you're
Unless.
going in unless you write it down. So I was going in the direction that, let's say I would have picked one of those topics. Oh, great. You said we could help you communicate faster. I still would have missed the other ones, which are, pretty important. And I'd say, like, yeah, look, of course I would ask him, but, oh, great, I'm curious how you heard about this. So I've done this before, but it's interesting to your, like, I think it kind of supports your point on practice. So, like, if
And
you
by the way,
do this,
yes,
you
because you
do
would
the,
have missed also.
yeah.
I heard that you want communicate faster. What else is on that list? So the what else questions is something we actually teach and we practice that people don't do. What do salespeople listen for? The good ones? A point. What do great salespeople listen to for? All of the pain points and getting them to quantify and prioritize them in order so they can understand which are the business problems that they will spend time, money, and energy and resources on right now to solve. You see, I'm not here to solve all your problems. I'm here to identify which are the
Your
biggest
most
problems,
important problem,
most the ones that you'll spend time, money, energy, and effort right now to solve. Because then now I've now created some, there's urgency that I've been able to uncover, which helps me in my sales motion. Without training and practice, that's even less of a chance of you doing that versus even coming up with the first few notes on the first one. It's a skill. It's all
So
skill.
a great takeaway is that anybody can do if I'm playing it back right now. So first of all, obviously you want to know how they heard about you. That sort of like could be validation. You want to know why you think, you could help me. You want and you could double down on the one answer, but like the what else is the what I actually think is sort of the least obvious one. Because you then very often when you're selling some sort of software, you think like you said, you have a problem, but you don't, it may not be the most urgent problem that needs to be solved today. And if you have the type of solution that could solve multiple problems, you're basically putting eggs in the wrong basket,
You
right?
might be. Now, here's the part that I love the best. So Alex, we're going to redo this very quickly and watch how different you're going to think. So now, I'm going to start in. You're the salesperson. Now, everybody that's listening to this podcast, because Alex now knows what he's looking for. We've talked about curiosity. He ran a few questions. In fact, if you look at what he just did, he's reaching for a pen and paper because we've already shifted his belief about that interaction. Now let's watch his question. So here we go. So Alex, let me tell you what's going on. I'm excited. You asked me why I'm excited. I'm excited because I've heard good things about your company. I believe that you can help us. And we have some businesses. We have to communicate faster. We've missed some goals, and I'd love a product demo.
Okay, great. I'm just jotting this down to make sure I cover this. So first of all, I'm delighted that you've heard about us. Tell us, how did you hear about us?
Hey, brilliant. So let's just stop right now. You added your personality. I'm delighted that you heard about us. So that's just you. All of us have different aspects. And then you're starting right in. Look at the difference in just the frame. Your body, you just now leaned in. You took notes. Now you're a little rusty. So guess what? With a little bit of practice, note taking come right back. People say, Barry, I'm going to use AI. I use AI note takers all the time. 100%. I use them to supplement my notes. Because if you rely on AI for the conversation, you don't know how to layer. You don't know what to come back with in a conversation. And now you're sitting there. And what are you doing? You're picking the last thing you heard to layer, to be curious about. And you've missed all of the first and throughout. But if you then hear something up front and you just keep that in your mind, you miss everything else. So you compromise the integrity of communication with AI relying on the note-taking. It's a skill set. I'm sorry, it's a skill set. And so
I think
these are
you're
the things.
absolutely right, and this is what I think it's beautiful that you bring this up because I think this is a gap, right? Like I think we've all started taking less notes and the assumption that AI is going to do a good job and it's going to write the, next steps. And I think what you're saying is, well, next steps are going to be shitty if you don't do a great job during the meeting. And for that, you need to take notes to make sure you don't miss the threads. Did I get that
See,
right,
this is
Barry?
why, 100%. This is why, and again, I've built a career on this. I'm in my 40th year. I will take an army of B players that I can teach because they'll all rise than having a few A players and trying to build a business on that. I'll take an army of C players that are motivated to learn, that I can teach skills because these skills are all learned. You went through when you went through the program with the success factors.
Well, I'm feeling like I didn't really get much. I'm feeling self-conscious about it now. But I got rusty for sure.
yeah, but and by the way, I would never go fly an airplane today after
Yeah.
being a student pilot with 100 hours 20
Yeah.
years ago. Why
Yeah.
would I just think that I could get
Yeah.
in an airplane and take off? It's insanity. But yet, like you say, it's been a while. I'm a little rusty. Here's what I know. If we did one or two more role plays, videoed, and you coached me, you would be 90% back like that because they're perishable skills. But because you believe in the concepts, that's the belief piece. You like curiosity. You use your we talked before about how do you use curiosity with our kids. The concept is there. The skill set's a little rusty, but here's what I know, Alex, and this is for all of you that are listening. Do you have to be a master at questioning? No, you do not. Do you have to be like, I have to be in my tactical questions? Do they all have to be perfect? No, they do not. What gets carried is if you're genuinely
Genuine,
curious. And so we teach open-ended questions. No yes and no questions. So now, if someone goes, are you happy? Did you do this? But that's not good. But if someone's genuinely curious, says, Alex, I'm curious. Are you happy? You not happy? So tell me what's going on for you. What is carried is the tell me what's going on with you. I shouldn't have asked the first two or three questions. It's multiple questions. It's not tactically sound. It doesn't matter. What matters is, you literally, Alex, when you go back and watch this, you leaned forward when you said, thank you. This is, I'm curious. You literally were part of that. And that experience is where genuine curiosity for everybody listening, all of you are in relationships. All of you have connections. All of you have to sell an idea, a concept. All of you do. These skills of being genuinely curious and focusing on what's important to them, they're masterful and they'll help in every aspect of our lives.
So the big underlying theme, it's almost the not even the particular question, although they need to be open-ended, it's the intent behind the question. Am I
It is,
leaning
but
in?
you still, when you think about sales means I'm going into a meeting. What is my purpose? What is the data I want to get? Those are our categories of qualification. And then our questions we want to focus to be as most effective. But you need both. You need my intent. So if you remember in enterprise sales, we had categories. Motivation. What motivated you to see us or to take the call? About them. We had to learn about them, their company, their culture, all that. We need to know about their current situation. How do you currently do blank today? What helped me understand that? So there's questions around that. With what you're doing today, what do you like? What don't you like? What would you alter and improve? There's those bank of questions. What are you ideally trying to accomplish in a perfect role? We want those kind of questions. And then in that we have our, if you remember the advanced questioning, once we have the pain and it's quantifying, what are the issues you would spend your time, energy, and money now? Then we have to understand once we have the pain, what's the impact of that pain, the negative consequences? What's their ideal solutions and how will that be of benefit? All of that has to be quantified and measurable. Once you have that, then we roll into the decision-making process. How do you guys, let's say we can solve these problems for you. You just described them. Let's see. Tell me about the decision-making process. How do you think about making decisions? The evaluation process. We have to understand a little bit about the time frames, or how are they thinking about that, and how do they handle the money, the budgets, and how do they think about budgeting? And so these are all categories in an enterprise sale that are all part of that. And there's a few more after that. And so now, once you have those, then we have to start thinking about, if I have a sales call or I'm going into a meeting, which of those do I want to deal with now? What are my questions that I want to have? And now I want to be able to be curious. And now the questions matter a little less, as long as we're genuinely curious, but we still know that we're there for a purpose. People go into meetings without knowing what the purpose is. I'm a very big believer. Purposes are 100% in my control. That means I can't solve their purpose, but I can try and understand the best I can. If it's in my control, I become a genuinely curious person, as opposed to, if I focus on stuff out of my control, I become frustrated because people do what people do. People are weird.
So on the topic of the sort of the long journey, right? And then in our conversation, you brought up the topic of a demo. And I think a lot of product-driven people, product-led companies, increasingly there is a type of software called product-led growth, product-led sales, where the demo starts playing an earlier part in the sales journey. That's at least the theory of the case. And I struggle to see the personalization, right? Unless it's something pretty transactional and maybe pretty well understood as a like problem, then I think maybe the
Or
demo does
low
little
dollar
dollar
volume, right?
value. But yeah.
Right?
But so there's this tendency, and I think I've felt it because everybody, like as a founder, like a lot of founders or product oriented people or sales engineers, like they think the product is amazing. That's why they joined the company. They love it, right? So they you want to share it, right? And oftentimes you share quite a lot, and so you end up having the injecting this product discussions pretty early. I think you even brought up, hey, I would like to see a demo. And so I think that was a like for somebody who was waiting to demo the product, they would have probably skipped through those other parts and went
That's
into the
why I
demo.
put that there for that perfect. You're correct.
So
Continue.
I didn't fall in that trap, but like I have in the past, right? Because hey, let me show you this thing, and this is what we're doing with AI. And I'm curious, what have you seen about in the world where the attentions are shorter, right?
Yes, they are.
And there is less of an appetite for pattern matching. I kind of know what you're gonna do. Well, tell me about your problems, da da da. And I'm like, I know you need it, but can we skip through some of these steps, and can I see for myself if the product can, is what I need? So there's some people that want to shortcut through that process. Have you seen successful examples of using demo and mixing that with a curiosity-based selling that are working today?
So yes. And so let's redefine. I have a different definition of a demo. What is the purpose of a demo? It's qualification. So people say, no, I'm showing the demo to show them the product. No, I don't believe that. That's not my belief. My belief is, you have a sales motion. Every single step drives curiosity. So I believe, now, for a $5 sale, we're not doing customized demos. I get that. So under the pretense, when you are going to be doing a customized demo, there is an overarching rule of thumb, and it is simple. And when you think about, when you're the prosecution in these and you're going to trial, you never the rule you're supposed to there's like a rule of thumb that says, never ask a question you don't know the answer to, or something like that. Never do a demo that you don't have a question before or previous knowledge from a previous discussion. So in order for me to do a demo, I have to, even if I have to do a short demo, even on my first sales call, I'm not compromising discovery. What I'm doing is, I'm saying, okay, You want to see the demo? I'm going to show you a demo. Before I jump in, I just want to, so I can show you the right things that are relevant. When you think about blank, what are your highest business problems you're trying to solve there? Tell me about what you're doing now. So then I'm gathering data to show. If this is a deal of size, meaning it's the right strategic value and/or it's the right dollar size. We don't do demos without doing discovery. I'm sorry, we don't. I get people will argue, well, no, our SDRs, our processes, we show a little bit of the demo to tease them. Okay. I would have to understand the sales process and the methodology there, but let's just go with it for a moment. I'm not going to show something that I don't know the answer to, because I don't know what language to put it in. And
But look,
so
Barry, some of these companies, they already have a demo tutorial type of
they
thing on
do
their website.
100%. So,
And so
but they're doing that on their own.
do you
Yes.
think that's a mistake? Do you think that so because that basically the customer oftentimes, like
Pre-qualified.
we've seen examples, the customers either pre-qualify or they're coming in and they kind of the value part of the value has already been destroyed because the demo is, about little widgets and schmidgets and not about the underlying value. And so they get hooked up on some features that ultimately, maybe don't move the needle.
I'm not
What
saying
what's your
that's wrong,
take?
and so I don't have enough data that it would be inappropriate for me to comment on that style because there's so many variables. What I will say is we get asked a lot to look at a canned demo. We get asked a lot to look at what we have, our YouTube videos. And I look at them and my mind always is, what is the value proposition? How are we pitching value, not features? Value, 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 value. So if you're using something to hook people to then have a conversation, great. If it's a small dollar volume, I know companies look in the consumer world. You don't, there's no conversations. We sell products without conversations. So of course it's appropriate for those kind. I'm thinking of in situations where a salesperson or an SC is needed and it's a strategic and/or the right dollar volume, then there's some fundamentals that we want to start our conversation as sort of our truth, which is if it warrants, we don't do demos without doing some discovery, either before in a call or real time. I have no problem. No problem. And there's different method, right? So let me stop and check in with you.
Yeah, I think this aligns. It feels like what we see happen is as companies get mature, they probably see three or four types of problems that they solve really well for their ideal customer profile. And so there's a bit of a selection mechanism that happens where, like, who are you? Okay, I'm this person. And then okay, great. If you're this person and this type of
Yes.
company, we have a pretty strong thesis as a company that
For that vertical,
you for
100%.
that vertical,
Or
we may
that
even know the
persona.
language, we may know the case study. So then we could basically take you and show you something that's maybe a little, pre-organized for you, or at least has, even if it's a standard demo, it has the value language that will resonate. And I think the problem though is that the way the modern communication setup is done is it's you have to be like either super prepared to discover all that in one call, so to speak, right? Or you kind of need to create an architecture where it
Love that.
allows people to choose where they are, like pick
I
your
think that's great.
adventure. And then you get to these right demos. So that's sort of one of the things that we've seen some of the customers that have taken your training, like Salesforce, that are way better at maybe doing this than I was in this call. Right? They're thinking, all right, how do we take you on a journey that's really relevant to you? And then we show you the demo that meets your business goals as, let's say, a Salesforce partner that's trying to grow their revenue. For sales, they're going to have one very different demo, a very different resource than somebody who is like technical specialist on that same product at the same
100%.
company.
All that
And his
segmentation all has its value. Yes, 100%. I agree with that.
And so the question then becomes, how much of that can be packaged into content, right? With like, so basically curiosity-based marketing or curiosity, based customer communications versus like one-on-one high touch sales enterprise sales process, right? Have you seen people scaling your approach in their content as an example?
100%. And I think that is, I think the a demo in the old days was a step in a sales motion that was always done by a sales engineer.
Right.
We don't see that as much anymore. We see some companies that salespeople do it. We see some companies that demos online. We see companies with pricing and demo online. We see all of that. We see segmentation. So if you have the SMB market, that's different than the enterprise versus mid-market. All of that is contextual. It's all you have to take all that into account. I'm looking at when there's two kinds of curiosity. There's a machine learned, right? So it could be through AI or through whatever. And then there's a human connection. When it's time for human connection, which in many cases is less and less because with AI, we have to be that much more effective. And we can't have salespeople or sales engineers on larger opportunities having a customer that has seen a demo via on the line, has watched and educated themselves. When they finally get to us, our skills matter even more because the opportunity to authentically connect and build trust is less because it's transpired through technology.
So
So
they're already
it's
educated, so your
they're
some
educated.
specialized knowledge that you have is no longer. So what makes a difference? And I've heard this from some customers, like we have this SDR that's kind of 1 year out of school, and they're go doing cold outbound outreach, like I will consult you on XYZ, like okay, great. Where do I sign up with my 30 minutes, right? Type of reaction. And then on the other hand, the customer may be like an engineer type of mindset, like very much like I don't want to be talking to humans unless I really have to, and I can learn everything on my own, or I could, consult AI or whatnot. And so you have this almost a situation where the no level of knowledge of a customer may be higher in some, or potential customer
Very
may be
much.
higher than that of a generalist sales rep or an SDR. So what do you do in that situation? How do you add value and build a richer connection?
Well, interesting. Curiosity doesn't require you to be as technically savvy as it does being a sales consultant or a sales engineer. It doesn't. So what's interesting about curiosity and what's interesting with people that have done research, it just changes the way we ask questions a little bit. So we have to be a little bit more mindful and thoughtful. We have to be a little bit more skillful in the questions we ask. Again, we don't really, but our close rates are not where they need to be. We don't really, but then our discounting is excessive. Right, so there's consequences of not being effectively trained. And the consequences add up to the billions of dollars when you start looking at that. So we have to be better. Is technology making us better or lazier? It's a very interesting question. I will say for many people, the skill set that is required to be effective at sales that require personal connection, technology in many cases is making us lazier.
So this is back to that point that where, okay, I'm over relying on the demo, whatever, or I'm over relying on the Zoom notes and not paying attention in real time to the little golden nuggets that you gave me in the conversation, and then maybe just pick up one of them and not the others, right? So that because I know the notes will capture everything, right? So what else, the sort of in this world of technology, aiding salespeople, like automating outreach, which I think we see quite a lot of. What do you feel is going to help people to at least kind of succeed in the earlier stages of the sales journey, right? Getting people moving there, because that feels like that's right now where the bombardment of AI generated
It is.
outreach is it's convalescing. So I'm there, you know, we're all get you get probably messages, I get messages. What feels authentic and curious in that early outreach?
Yeah, I think it rely. I mean, it's a hard question to ask generically, right?
Yeah.
My
Well, you can pick
generic
an
answer.
example of a client.
Yeah,
Let's
my
say I know you own
generic answer.
insurance,
Yeah.
some of the
You
best
know.
insurance companies in the world. You know, so in insurance, commodity facing, commodity pressure in the business, like, well, how do you stand out, in that world?
So in that world, I'm always addressing the only really piece I look at technology that I play in is, are their questions effective and is their value proposition clean and crisp? I'm still shocked to this day at how terrible companies are with their value propositions and their salespeople's ability to be able to communicate them. So that's kind of the areas that I look at for me in there. Then everything else is all about human interaction. When it's time to interact, that's where I can make the difference. If I can, so when you think about if you increase closing rates 40%, that's a really big number. We do that. That's not an atypical thing that we do. When you're able to, when you think about moving people through a pipeline faster, so you shorten sales cycles, those are things we do all day long. So now AI is front-end loading that. AI is having technology is starting to have a front-end opinion on that. However, at some point, when it's time for them, if there is a human connection of some point, that's when skills matter. And that's where we influence that the greatest amount.
So let's come back as we're wrapping up, Barry. Like, so you gave us this triangle, and let's maybe like let's go back to the triangle so people take that away. And then like maybe like what is in some scenario, maybe it's for relate to, maybe it's for your own business. Like, what are the couple questions for each base of the triangle that we could go and start practicing in our next conversation?
Yeah, you know, I think the purpose of I think one of the first ones early on is what caused them or prompted them to want to visit. So we're trying to get to some initial business pain. If someone takes a meeting, thank you, what prompted you? Like you said,
And
hey, thank you.
is that in relationship phase, or is that in the discover, like where do you feel like that fits? So you have this sort of learning information about them, and then there's a relationship building. That's more
Learning
information.
about them and their world is a little bit different than now when we're shifting to business. So I
Okay.
think that the biggest areas are going to be about motivation. What right? So I think that's a big one. Business pain. What are your highest priorities? Not what are your priorities and not what you're working on, but really being a little bit more. And by the way, each of you have a personality and a way you are comfortable. So I would coach you all this way. I love people getting out of their comfort zone a little bit, but not too much as they're learning this. And Alex, the challenge is you can go to AI right now and say, give me the best five questions for motivation in this situation, and AI will give them to you. The problem is it's not going to teach you layering, and it's not going to teach you how to have your personality and how to be comfortable with that. That's the practice. So no matter how you look at this, it is about practice. It is all about becoming more confident through practice. But a few questions. Business pain's a big one. We teach high level. There's two questions we should be asking ourselves, or as a manager, we should be asking our people. Is there a real deal here? Can we get a deal done? That's it. Is there a real deal here? That means we have to ask questions like, tell me about your business pain. What are you currently doing? How are you trying to solve this now? What prompted you to take a call with me? Is there a real deal here? We got to get that information. Can we get a deal done? That's
That's
decision.
back to our that's this the other part of the triangle. That's like, can we, you know, have a personalized outcome value for
That's a
Fortuna
tactic, but
Absolute.
what I'm talking about is the way I know can we get a deal done is I'm asking you, Alex, tell me about your decision-making process in getting a deal done here. And if you don't like that vernacular, Alex, how, let's say we can solve these business problems for you. Walk me through your process. That's the decision-making process. So I would leave everybody here as we wrap up with a concept that says motivation, pain, and decision-making process. That's, if at its simplest, I would be thinking about that.
And what you did there is like it's kind of a sleight of hand, but I think for people new to sales, that's really important. Even though I kind of intuitively at some point picked up on that, is that okay, fine, let's assume we can address this need, right, really well. Let's talk about, what would, who would do this? Would you do this? Would you be the owner of this, et
Not
cetera,
who,
right?
who's closed-ended. Are you the owner's closed-ended? No disrespect.
Got it. All right.
Walk me through your process.
Walk me
Help me
through your process.
understand how you
So
think about this.
open-ended, walk me, so okay, open-ended, walk me through the process.
You got it,
So
brother.
basically keep it all open-ended, but like remember that there's different parts of the cycle, like their needs. Is this the, how do you see this solving your needs, or some kind of version of that, and then like the process, assuming this solves your needs, the
People don't
you know,
ask
what is it?
decision-making process. And by the way, they don't ask it anywhere in their lives. It's kind of shocking. Like, if I'm trying in a sales, I need to know, how are you going to think about this deal? How does a deal get done here? Walk me through your process. I use, how does a deal get done? You may be uncomfortable with those words. So you want to change the words a little, but still keeping it open. People don't ask that enough. When it's funny, like with my wife or my kids, I'll ask, okay, so help me understand what we just what you're thinking and what's the process from here? I just need to understand, where do we go from here? What does that look like? So that I can, I just need to know the process so I can then, in a selling situation, prioritize. I can build in some pre-handling of objections, all that stuff.
And Barry, one of the themes that I do now recall, you brought up that you could ask the same question in multiple ways, because
Of
sometimes
course.
people won't necessarily answer it the first time, or they won't be, maybe they'll be confused about the answer, maybe they don't want you to know. So tell me a little bit about that approach, right? How do you do that without being annoying?
Well, we have, if you remember, we have an exercise that we run people through where they come up with each of the categories and then they have to come up with five questions of how to ask what that. So, decision-making process. Give me five questions. How do you guys make decisions here? Tell me a little bit about your process. How do you think about making decisions here? Let's say you're comfortable with us. Walk me through their process. Those are four different ways to all ask the same
Ask
question.
the same question. So it's okay,
But
got
everybody's got to have two. Because if you ask one, you take your shot and it doesn't work, you got to have a backup. Most people don't have one, and most people don't practice any.
Feels like there's a lot of practicing to be done. This is your
There's a
this
lot of
isn't skill.
practicing in
This is a skill.
relationship to what people do now, but it doesn't take years of practice. It takes minutes. Alex, when you went through Selling Through Curiosity, we did a 3 or 4 day event, and I'll bet you, we spent in that 3 or 4 days, when you look at the actual amount of practice that we did, it was 4 or 5 hours. And so if people say, wait a minute, the actual role play, because we would spend an hour creating questions. That's not role play. It's a different way of doing things. But the actual bantering, you can learn it so quickly. So when I'm not asking or saying to people, it takes years to do this. Absolutely not. I don't get years. Remember, my business is simple. If they don't get results, they don't pay me. It's simple. When I do equity deals, I work for free for 179 days. At 180 days, we do a thumbs up, thumbs down. If they add value, I vest 6 months back and we do month to month forward. Everything's results. So I don't get days and weeks and months and years to figure stuff out. I get days, I get weeks. So this stuff happens fast and it's transferable from business to personal, personal to business. It affects all of the different categories. It's why you and I, when we first talked a few weeks ago, you were like, I'm trying to use curiosity more with my kids. It's transferable. All of it takes practice.
All right, people, Barry, where can people practice Where can they find you? Where can
So
they find
we
your work?
are they selling through curiosity.com, barryryan.com. Just search Selling with Curiosity. We have programs and things of that nature, and we'd love to hear from you and would love to participate. I'm blessed. I'm 66 years old. I've had a 40-year career. It's been an unbelievable helping tens of thousands of people, and I get passionate and genuinely excited every day with the idea of how can we help people be more curious, because it just makes their life easier and it
Yeah.
furthers their goals. As much business, far more personal. I get excited with helping kids and saving marriages and things like that through curiosity, as I do, closing, 40% more deals, whatever.
If you want your kids to love you, if you want to save your marriage, and if you want to do well in your business, check this out, Barry Ryan. I am going back for remedial training, obviously. But I it stuck with me. It was before I did anything related to sales and kind of wearing a marketing hat. Originally, when I went through it, and I think I had a partial attendance, but I am really glad to have brought this wisdom and decades of experience from Barry to your audience. Please find Barry, and please underlying theme, especially for those of in the Relate2 ecosystem, is that we are no longer shoving information, shoving products, shoving services. We're having conversations. And so that's this, you know, if you're wondering why this matters, if you're in the content business, your content needs to embody what the best sales and communication professionals are doing, and they're just having conversations through that content. So Barry, we're gonna commit to applying your ideas inside the Relate2 platform. Thank you again for sharing your nuggets.
Happy holidays, Alex. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Welcome back, Alex Shevelenko here. Thank you so much for listening to Experience Focused Leaders podcast. You can learn more about us at podcast.relate2.com. RELYTO.com. Obviously, we would love for you to send this to people that you know who would be great speakers, or just share the nuggets that you took away from this episode with your community on social. And you could learn more about what we're up to on Relate2.com. You could certainly connect with me on LinkedIn, where it's just very easy to spell my name. You have to have a master's in Ukrainian. It's Shevelenko, Shevelenko. Would love to connect so that we can move together the way the world communicates about its most important ideas. Thank you for listening. We hope to see you next time.